My guest at this time is former Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra. As of Tuesday, he is now the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in the Great Lakes State and will be taking on two-term Democratic incumbent Debbie Stabenow come November 6th. He easily won his primary on Tuesday over fellow Republican Clark Durant. Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, good. Good to be with you again. Thank you.
Well, as we mentioned, it was a strong win. Congratulations on that. We do know, of course, that Michigan, in terms of presidential elections in recent cycles, has leaned to the left. And right now, according to the two polls I've seen, Senator Stabenow has a pretty comfortable lead. How do you close the gap in the next 3 months?
Well, we close the gap very simply. We hold Debbie Stabenow accountable. We hold Barack Obama accountable for what they've done to this country. We continue to have over 8% unemployment. There's still a lot of people in this state who are hurting. We hold them accountable for the $1.3 trillion worth of debt that they're putting on the backs of our kids each and every day. We hold them accountable for saying no to energy independence, saying no to the Keystone Pipeline, saying no to a new drilling. That costs a lot of people in Michigan jobs. Those pipelines aren't going through Michigan. But you know what? Michigan builds things, and we build the kind of things that are used in pipelines and in drilling equipment. So it's really about holding Debbie Stabenow, the president, accountable, holding them accountable for the government takeover of health care. And people in Michigan, we're seeing it. You know, we've always, you know, recently we've, people say, you know, you're a Democratic-leaning state, but we've got a good governor. We've got conservative legislature. Michigan's starting to see what Republican conservative leadership can do, and so we'll provide a very, very sharp contrast between my vision and her vision.
Conditions were obviously quite favorable for your party in 2010. Do you sense those conditions are still there this time?
I think even more so, because, you know, in 2010, everybody was clearly very frustrated with the 8 years of leadership by Jennifer Granholm. They believed that Michigan could do better, but, you know, they weren't quite sure what it would take. Now when they watch Governor Rick Snyder and, you know, the legislature cut spending, balance budgets, reform the tax code, pay down long-term liabilities, make it easier to do business in Michigan, and all of a sudden they're seeing Michigan come back and they're saying, you know what, these conservative principles really work. Maybe we ought to try them at the federal level. And, you know, Mitt is a hometown guy. He's from southeast Michigan. So I think, you know, I'm optimistic that on November 6th, not only can I win this Senate seat, but that Mitt can win the electoral votes coming out of Michigan.
That'd be the first time since 1988. But as you mentioned, he is a native son, has twice won the Michigan primary. Let's talk about one aspect of the economy that the president is taking credit for himself. And he says that's the turnaround of the auto industry. He says the plan of the government to bail out General Motors and Chrysler has paid off. Now the auto industry is back. He even said this week that he would like to see that in every other area of manufacturing. Is that an issue that's playing well for the Democrats, or is there a different explanation that you're giving out there about what's going on with the auto industry?
Well, no, clearly when the federal government invested, you know, tens of billions of dollars into the auto industry, you know, sure, we helped keep that industry alive to enable that industry to survive. But, you know, you got to take a look at what the president did with this money. He bailed out union workers and left other workers hanging. He terminated, you know, thousands of dealerships across the country without any kind of due process. He totally flipped the order of creditors, putting unions in favor of bondholders. He set a terrible precedent. And the way to get manufacturing moving forward in America is not by bailing them out. It's giving them the tools so that they can actually compete, get rid of the rules and regulations, you know, provide us with low-cost energy supplies and sources. I mean, you know, we melt stuff in Michigan, then we put it into molds, and it comes out as metal parts, and then we machine it, and we machine the parts that run America. All of that takes a tremendous amount of energy, and he's starting to price America out of those markets because we've got high-cost energy. So, no, I don't think the model of what we did with the auto industry is the model that we ought to be saying, this is how we get America moving again, run an industry into the ground, then pump tens of billions of dollars in a federal intervention, if at all, should be the last resort, not the preferred choice, which is kind of what the president is implying.
Do you get the sense the people of Michigan understand it the way you do, or do they just see an industry that's coming back?
Well, clearly they see an industry that's coming back. But they're also now starting to express some very major concerns because, you know, the president, again, has put on some major new federal regulations in terms of mileage requirements and these types of things. And what we're starting to do is we're starting to replay out the 90s. The industry comes back. We pile on more government rules and regulations. The industry starts getting nervous about what the cost of those rules and regulations are going to be. They may not keep up with foreign competition. And so, sure, we're seeing people back to work. That's good for Michigan. But I think that people in Michigan recognize that, you know, if we create the same kind of environment where these companies are going to be struggling, that maybe the next time, and most likely the next time, the federal government won't be there to bail them out.
We're talking with former Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who's now the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, taking on Democrat Debbie Stabenow come November. And Congressman, you mentioned before that Michigan is now headed in the right direction, although a long way to go, thanks to Governor Snyder and a Republican legislature. There was a story out not long ago that every state that went from a Democrat to a Republican governor is doing a little bit better when it comes to the jobless rate. At the same time, though, those same analysts contend that that could actually bode well for incumbents like President Obama and others, perhaps like Senator Stabenow, even though they're not responsible for the improving conditions. Do you think the voters will be able to distinguish between what's responsible for the improvement and what's not?
Oh, I think they will, because all across this state, you know, we've got a new nickel mine up in our Upper Peninsula that wants to invest $100 million. The folks up there at the local level, they're saying, yes, go for it. At the state level, the state legislature, the governor, they're saying, go for it. This is a huge opportunity for the Upper Peninsula. Who comes in? The Corps of Engineers and the EPA. They're dragging their feet. They may actually stop the project. They may actually stop the creation of jobs. People all across the state see the differences between an agenda of Rick Snyder and conservatives who are trying to create jobs through the private sector and Barack Obama, his EPA, his Corps of Engineers, his Labor Department, who are trying to stifle job creation. You know, I think Debbie Stabenow is going to have a very, very difficult time trying to claim credit for the change in Michigan, because it's not because of her policies. Her policies are continuing to drag this state backwards. People want the same kind of change in Washington that they're seeing in Lansing.
Let's talk a little bit in our last minute or so about your campaign, for better or for worse. Perhaps the most attention came around Super Bowl time with the ad involving the phrase, Debbie, spend it now, and the girl in China thanking her for the American money that came over there. There was quite a backlash for a number of reasons. Do you feel that hurt the campaign, and how did you recover from that?
Oh, we had some issues with and problems with that. We are a stronger campaign. We never anticipated how harshly the Democrats would take this campaign and how they would do anything to change the subject from their failed economic policies to anything other than that. And, you know, so no, we're a much better campaign because of some of the troubles and the tribulation we had earlier. We are stronger. We are better prepared for the attacks that they're going to throw at us. For the last 2-3 months, we've been a finely tuned machine, a campaign machine. That's why we won on Tuesday with 55% of the vote in a four-way primary. We've got a great campaign organization in place, and the trouble we had earlier just made us better.
Congressman, I know it's a sprint from here. We'll keep up with you as you go all the way to November 6th. Thanks very much for your time.
Hey, appreciate the time. We'll love to keep your listeners updated. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, he was also former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, by the way. He is now the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in the Great Lakes State. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.